ESPN. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of Benny in the Booth podcast. On this week's episode, we've got the wrapping up of Pools A and B from WBC and going into what has so far happened between Pool C and Pool D of WBC. I've got my official March Madness predictions and some NFL news and more all coming right up. Let's get right into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 70 of Benny in the Booth podcast. Thank you so much for the support to this point. I very much do appreciate it. It is crazy to be saying that this is episode 70. Saying this has gone on for 70 episodes. So, originally this week, today it was not going to be live. I was going to pre-record it at some point this week and be going to a hockey game tonight. However, due to the weather, which has basically been snow on and off and rain, that got pushed off to possibly Thursday, so I was able to do it live this week, and I'm doing it live. I don't have my microphone because I forgot it at home, but if you do happen to be at Devil's Lightning tomorrow night, sitting around the 200 level, maybe you bump into me somehow because I might be there Thursday night in the end instead of tonight. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to do it live. I'd be on my way to Prudential Center, probably. But so it worked out this way, and I'm live instead of pre-recording it. Not much other news otherwise, so let's get right into it. So, Pool A. Pool A, since we last left off, Cuba blew out Panama 13-4 with big contributions finally coming from the big leaguers in the lineup. Luis Robert having two singles, two RBIs, Moncada having a double, two singles and four RBIs, and a walk in the game, leading Cuba to their first win and a dominant first win. Italy, Chinese Taipei whoops, Italy 11-7. Kung Kwan Giligaja, three-run homer sealed the win for Taiwan, beating Italy 11-7. Panama beat Italy 2-0. Jose Ramos home run in the second, and Alan Cordoba RBI single help, and a combined shutout from Panama's pitching staff helped them win over Italy. Chinese Taipei against Netherlands. Netherlands struck early, but big thanks to Yu Ching, who ended up being Pool A MVP. Go-ahead Grand Slam home run in the second, and a Lee Lin game-tying RBI single in the second, and RBI single in the eighth helped Chinese Taipei win 9-5. Cuba versus Chinese Taipei. This was all Cuba, and once again, it's the major leaguers stepping up big time for Cuba, a part of a four-run first to help Cuba win and stay alive. And then the last game in Pool A, Italy versus Netherlands. Italy utterly dominates behind a six-run fourth that won Italy over the Netherlands 7-1 and sent Italy to the second round as the runner-up. But to give more context, because the final standings in Pool A was literally everyone tied at 2-2. So it came down to tiebreakers, which is run differential, runs for versus runs against, which also factors in innings for runs and outs and stuff. And then what it came out to is Cuba in first, so they're the winner of the pool. Italy in second is the runner-up. Netherlands in third, which they don't advance, but they do qualify for 2026. Panama in fourth, don't advance, qualify for 2026. And Chinese Taipei at fifth, don't qualify for 2026, and we'll have to be back into the qualifiers in 2025. That is the end result of Pool A. Everyone ended up in 2-2. Cuba and Italy move on. That is the wrap up of Pool A. So now for Pool B. Czech Republic versus China. For some reason, I didn't copy down the score of this game. Hold on one second. I don't know why I didn't. That is weird. Here we go. 8-5. So the Czech Republic Gave up a four-run seven up. They were up three to one. Gave up a four-run seventh and to make it 8-5-4 China. Down to their last three outs, eventually down to their last two outs, thanks to Martin Muzyk. Go ahead, ninth inning, three-run homer, would end up taking the lead and winning 8-5 over China to capture the first game of that for them in Pool B. Korea versus Japan. Japan utterly dominated, 13-4. Shohei had a great game both on the mound and at the plate. Newport had a good first game, and just overall domination from Japan. Australia versus China. I think I skipped some games here. Yeah. I don't know what. I think I, for some reason, I think I might have taken out some games. But Australia beat Korea in a crazy game. That was very much back and forth. Ended with a bunch of controversies. Now that I think about it, I think I know why. I don't know. But then Japan beat Korea 13-4. Australia beat China 12-2 behind a 5-run fourth, and Daryl George RBI single helps Australia mercy China. Walk-off RBI single helps Australia mercy China in 7 innings. Japan whooping Czech Republic after Czech scored first on the error on a Japan error. Japan scored 7 unearned runs and 3 more after the second Czech run to crush Czech Republic 10-2. Korea versus Czech Republic. Korea had a 5-run first to help them win 7-3 over Czech Republic. Australia versus Japan. Japan won 7-1 behind Joey Ohtani, 3-run homer in the first, and an RBI walk in the fourth. And to be undefeated in round one for the second consecutive year, and being the winner out of Pool A, they will be facing Italy to kick for their second round matchup. We'll get into that timing later. Australia versus Czech Republic. Alex Hall solo home run on the fifth pitch of the game in the first, and 2-run triple in the eighth helps Australia win 8-3. And moving on to the second round for the first time ever, they are the runner up, and they will be facing Cuba in the second round. Both of those games are going to be in Japan for round two. And then the last game of round two, Korea absolutely creamed China 22-2, most runs scored in a WBC game ever. 8-run third, 6-run fourth, and 4-run fifth led Korea to a 15-plus run mercy rule win over China. And so the end result from Pool B in the standings, Japan first at 4-0 advances the winner. Australia 3-1 advances the runner-up. Korea 2-2, they qualify for 2026. And then Czech Republic 1-3, they qualify for 2026, and China at 0-4 don't qualify for 2026. That is the results from Pool B. So now let's get into the start of Pool C. It kicked off with a crazy game between Colombia and Mexico that was back and forth, but thanks to Gustavo Campero reaching on an error, scoring Jorge Alfaro, Colombia was able to take an extra innings win over Mexico 5-4. Great Britain versus USA. Great Britain actually struck first, but it was all U.S. from that point on the back of a Kyle Schwarber 3-run homer in the fourth. And very good pitching overall between Waino and the bullpen. U.S. started their title defense with a 6-2 win over Great Britain. Canada versus Great Britain. Great Britain struck first, but it was all Canada the rest of the way, with a 5-run first and a 6-run fourth, helping them 7-inning mercy rule with them, 18-8. The 26 combined runs is the most in one WBC game ever in its 5 tournaments history going back to 2006. Mexico versus USA, summary of this game simply, Mexico destroyed USA 11-3. Joey Meneses had a 2-homer game, but simply the way to put this game is Mexico destroyed USA. Simple as that. And put USA in a giant hole towards trying to get out of Pool B, or their chance to get out of Pool B, but that did get picked up better more recently. We'll get into that in a moment. It was thanks to this game that we're about to talk about I just realized I input the score incorrectly. Colombia, Great Britain. After going down 3-0, Great Britain scored 7 unanswered runs to pull off an upset and first ever WBC win 7-5 over Great Colombia, which helps the U.S. very much because that's one of the teams that if that they do face upcoming and with possibility of finishing in the same record as them, we don't know who's going to have the tiebreakers. That game is tomorrow, but we'll see what happens with that. But either way, it does help U.S. And then last night, U.S. against Canada, it was 2017 plus all over again. U.S. absolutely destroyed Canada thanks to a 9-run first inning, helping them to emerge 7-inning 10-plus run mercy rule 12-1. Standings as of right now going into, not including today's game because there is a game going on right now, going into today's game, U.S. in first and 2-1, followed by 1-1. Tie it for 1-1 between Canada, Colombia, and Mexico, and Great Britain at 1-2. Excuse me. And Pool B kicked off with Puerto Rico and Nicaragua, 5-run fifth. After Nicaragua tied it in the top of the fifth, leads Puerto Rico to a 9-1 win over Nicaragua. DR versus Venezuela. David Peralta go ahead 2-run single in the fourth, an RBI double in the fourth. Later in the game, sorry, helps Venezuela pull off major upset over the DR in 5-1. Nicaragua versus Israel. After being shut out for 7 innings, Israel scored 3 in the 8th, all off Yankees reliever Jonathan Wiseau got to win 3-1. Sorry to all Yankees fans, but yeah, he got wrecked in that 8th. And it's sad because, like, he's their best reliever. And it's like, I will admit, at that point, I was ready to just say, like, Israel's taking this L, down 1-0 in the 8th inning. I thought, like, okay, game over. And they came back to win, which will help them big time, which helps them towards qualifying towards 2026 WBC. We'll get more into that later. Venezuela versus Puerto Rico. Venezuela, 7 runs in the first 2 innings, 4 in the third. 4 in the first, 3 in the second, helped Venezuela with major upset over Puerto Rico, 9-6. Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Juan Soto as a leadoff hitter, only done twice before, had a solo home run and a single, a walk, an RBI, and 3 runs, helping DR to get their first win, rocking Nicaragua 6-1. Last night, the game that almost everyone's talking about, Puerto Rico, perfect games, Israel in 8 innings, 10-0. There's not much more to say of that. Behind Jose De Leon, Yaxel Rios, Edwin Diaz, and I forget the other pitcher, but one other pitcher combining for 8-inning perfect game. But DR won 10-0. And then just today, Venezuela behind 4 unanswered runs, including a 3-run fourth inning to beat Nicaragua 4-1, which makes Nicaragua own 4, done with all their games, and officially puts Israel to qualify for 2026, no matter what happens the rest of the way in this pool. Venezuela won that game. So Pool D standings going into tonight's game, as DR Israel's tonight, we'll get into that momentarily, is Venezuela in first 3-0, followed by 2-1 Puerto Rico, followed by 1-1 tie between Dominican Republic and Israel, followed by 0-4 Nicaragua, who officially will have to go back in the qualifiers to try to qualify for 2026. Scheduled for the rest of the tournament, because by the time we get to our next episode, it's basically going to have been is going to be basically at the finals. So I'm just going to rally off the rest of the schedule between now and the end of the WBC. So tonight, not including the game currently going on, there is a game currently going on FS2, though the broadcast has been cut off for it for some reason. Canada and Colombia are currently playing right now. It's 1-0 Canada, bottom 5 at the time of recording this. We'll see what happens in that game. But a big headline for tonight, Israel versus the Dominican Republic, 7 p.m. on FS1. And the big headline is Jacob Steinmetz, from Jew, is starting for Team Israel in this game. And it's going to be a huge test for him. He is facing Ronzi Contreras, who's like a Pirates pitcher. Not so great. I've like seen few things, but he's nothing crazy. But that game's going to be at 7 p.m. And then at 10 p.m. tonight, it's going to be Great Britain versus Mexico. Joseph King pitching for Great Britain. Taiwan Walker pitching for Mexico. 10 p.m. on FS1. Tomorrow, we get the first game of the second round from Japan at 6 a.m. on Fox Sports 2. It's going to be the Australia versus Cuba. Stephen Kent pitching for Australia. Yariel Rodriguez pitching for Cuba. This game is, of course, going to be played in Japan. Following that is going to be Venezuela versus Israel, 12 p.m. on Fox Sports 2. As of this current moment, none of the stars have been announced for that game yet. Following that will be Mexico versus Canada, 3 p.m. on Fox Sports 2. Jose Urquidy going for Mexico. Rob Zastrzyny pitching for Canada. Followed by Puerto Rico versus Dominican Republic at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. This could very much decide who's going to win Pool D and who's going to be runner-up. No one announced for Puerto Rico. Johnny Cueto going to be starting for Dominican Republic. And then at 10 p.m. is going to be U.S. Colombia on Fox Sports 1. Merrill Kelly starting for the United States. No announced starter for Colombia. Thursday, the last game that we know for sure who's playing who is going to be Italy-Japan. None of the stars have been announced. That game will be 6 a.m. on Fox Sports 2. From there on out, on Friday will be the Pool C runner-up versus Pool D winner, 7 p.m. from Miami on Fox Sports 1. On Saturday will be Pool D runner-up versus Pool C winner, 7 p.m. on Fox, that from Miami. And then quarterfinals start on Sunday. First one will be on Sunday, 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1 between the first quarterfinal game from Japan winner versus the first quarterfinal game winner from Miami. And then the other two will be playing each other on Monday, 7 p.m. on FS1. And the winners of those games meet on Tuesday, 7 p.m. on FS1 for to see who will win gold in this WBC. And that's the remainder of the schedule for the World Baseball Classic. So moving on from WBC, March Madness predictions. Bracket came out on Sunday. To be honest with WBC, I'd forgotten much about March Madness starting soon. I don't know how much I'm really going to keep an eye out because of WBC. Once WBC passes, I'll have more of an eye out. But games are this Friday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday are the first two rounds. But I'm going to go over my full predictions. I'm going to give the schedule for the first round. And that will be it for this week. We'll dive more next week. But here are my full predictions. So Alabama, for the round, starting from first round or round of 64, in the south part, first matchup is between Alabama and either Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, or Southeastern Missouri State, which is a first four game. Southeastern Missouri State to come out of that one. And between Bama and Southeastern Missouri State, I have Bama winning that game. That is the 1 seed versus the 16th seed matchup. The 8-9 in that bracket is between Maryland and West Virginia. I think Maryland's going to win that game. The 5-12 is going to be San Diego State versus Charleston. I have Charleston winning. 4-13 is Virginia versus Furman. I have Virginia. 6-11 is Crane versus NC State. I have Crane. 7-10, the 7-10 matchup of that part is Missouri versus Utah State. I have Utah State winning. And then the 2-15 is Arizona versus Princeton. I have Arizona. That is the south part for the first round. For the East Coast part of it, it's basically based on where the games are being played. Purdue versus Fairleigh Dickinson, that's the 1-16. Fairleigh Dickinson's playing their first four game against Texas Southern, which I have them winning, of course. But I have Purdue winning the game against Fairleigh Dickinson. 8-9 is Memphis FAU. I have FAU winning. 5-12 is Duke versus Oral Roberts. I have Duke. 4-13 is Tennessee, Louisiana. I have Tennessee. 6-11 is Providence, is Kentucky against Providence. I have Kentucky. 3-14 is Kansas State and Montana. I have Kansas State. 7-10 is Michigan State versus USC. I have USC. And then 2-15 is Marquette versus Vermont. I have Marquette. As for the East, for the Midwest, the 1-16 is Houston versus Northern Kentucky. I have Houston. 8-9 is Iowa versus Auburn. I have Auburn. 5-12 is Miami versus Drake. I have Miami. 4-13 is Indiana versus Kent State. I have Kent State. The 6-11 is Iowa State against either Pitt or Nevada. I predict, is Mississippi State or Pitt. I predict Pitt to come out of it and them to beat Iowa State. 3-14 is Xavier versus Kennesaw State. I have Xavier. 7-10 is Texas A&M against Penn State. I have Texas A&M. 2-15 is Texas versus Colgate. I have Texas. And then for the West Coast, for the first round, Kansas versus Howard. I have Kansas. That's the 1-16. 8-9 is Arkansas, Illinois. I have Arkansas. 5-12 is St. Mary's versus VCU. I have VCU. 4-13 is Connecticut versus Iona. I have UConn. 6-11 is TCU against Nevada or Arizona State, which I have Nevada being the winner, but I have them losing to TCU. 3-14 is Gonzaga versus Grand Canyon, which I have Gonzaga. 7-10 is Northwestern against Boise State, and I'm Northwestern. 2-15 is UCLA versus UNC Asheville. I have UCLA. So that's for first round. By the way, let me know your guys' predictions in the comments, whether you have different or similar or whatever you have for March Madness. Let me know. But anyways, for second round in the South, per how I have results, it'd be 1-8, Bama versus Maryland. I have Bama winning that game. 4-12, meaning West Virginia versus Charleston. I have West Virginia. 3-11, which is Baylor, NC State. I have Baylor. 2-10, which would be Arizona, Utah State. I have Arizona. For the East, it would be 1 Purdue versus 9 FAU. I have FAU winning. 4-5, which would be Tennessee, Duke. I have Duke winning. 3-6, I would be Kansas State versus Kentucky. I have Kentucky. And then 2-10, Marquette versus USC. I have Marquette. For the Midwest, would be Houston versus Auburn. I have Houston. Miami versus Kent State. I have Kent State. Xavier versus Pitt. I have Xavier. Texas versus Texas A&M. I have, and then Texas versus Texas A&M. I have Texas. And then for the West Coast, Kansas versus Arkansas. I have Kansas. UConn versus VCU. I have VCU. Gonzaga versus TCU. I have Gonzaga. And UCLA versus Northwestern. I have UCLA. Now into the Sweet 16, Bama versus West Virginia, 1-4, I have Bama. 2, Arizona versus 3, Baylor, I have Arizona. That's for South. For the East, it would be 5 Duke versus number 5 Duke versus number 9 FAU, I have number 9 FAU winning. And number 2 Marquette versus number 6 Kentucky, I have number 2 Marquette winning. Midwest part would be number 1 Houston versus number 13 Kent State, I have Houston. And then number 2, Texas versus number 3, Xavier. I have Xavier. And for West part, it would be number 1, Kansas versus number 12, VCU. I have number 12, VCU winning. And then number 2, UCLA versus number 3, Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga winning. And then for the Elite 8 would be Bama versus Arizona from the South. I have Alabama winning. East would be Marquette versus FAU. I have Marquette. Midwest would be Houston against Xavier. I have Houston. West would be Gonzaga versus VCU. I have Gonzaga. Final Four would be on the right side of the on the left side of the bracket. I have Bama versus Marquette. I have Bama winning. And then for right side, I have Houston versus Gonzaga. I have Gonzaga winning. And overall in the championship between Bama and Gonzaga, I have Alabama winning it all. So that is my predictions for March Madness. Let me know your predictions in the comments or live chat below. Curious to see where you think differently compared to mine, or if you think similar to mine. This schedule is the final first four games kick off tonight. Southeastern Missouri State versus Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That game will be at 6:30. All the first four games are in Dayton, Ohio, by the way. And then Pitt versus Mississippi State. That game will be at 9 p.m. Tomorrow, Fairleigh Dickinson versus Texas Southern will be at 6:30. Nevada against Arizona State will be at 9. All the first four games are on True TV. For the first round schedule, honestly, if you just go to NCAA.com, you can find the schedule. I had too many first round games to go over that schedule. But there have been some big NFL news. Tremaine Edmonds is going to the Bears. Big addition for them. They're definitely looking to add some big pieces for their team around on both sides of the ball to support Justin Fields. Darren Waller got traded from the Raiders to the Giants for the 100th overall pick, which is like a third round pick, which is just a big steal. Let's see, what else am I?
Alan Lazard went to the Jets on a 4-year deal.
Alan Lazard is a Jet on a 4-year deal. Still no answer about Aaron Rodgers' situation. Mike White is going to the Dolphins on a 2-year deal.
Edmonds to the Bears.
I said that. Shaq Mason was traded to the Texans along with a 7th-round pick in exchange for a 6th-round pick. Chase Winovich is expected to sign with the Texans. But that's nothing's official there. Evan Ingram received – oh, no, sorry. No, that's older news because that was from last week. Jimmy G is a Raider, 3-year, $72.75 million. That includes $24.25 million. In year one, they also got Jacoby Myers on a 3-year, $33 million deal. Eric Kendricks is signing with the Chargers on a 2-year deal with $13.25 million. Browns got Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive tackle, on a for like a few years. Jason Kelce has announced that he is staying with the Eagles at least for another year and agreed to terms on a 1-year, $14.25 million deal, which includes $500,000 in incentives. Brandon Graham is staying with the Eagles on a 1-year deal worth up to $6 million. Daron Payne, aside from getting franchise tagged, to sign an extension 4 years, $90 million. Marcus Davenport signing with the Vikings, 1 year, $13 million. Jesse Bates signing from the Bengals is now Falcon, 4 years, $64.02 million. And I think that, Jameis Winston staying with the Saints. And I think that's just about it pretty much for the biggest NFL news since last week's episode. So let's wrap things up. Thank you so much for watching this week's episode of Benny in the Booth podcast. On next week's episode, we will have almost a full rest of recap of WBC up until the finals. We'll have March Madness recap through the first two rounds, and we'll have any other NFL news that pops up between now and then. Thank you so much for watching. If you are new on YouTube, leave a like, hit the subscribe button, leave a notification bell in so you're notified when I go live and or post a video. If you're new on audio, follow the podcast, leave a review, and hit the notification bell so you're notified when I post on there. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next week's episode for episode 71. Bye! Done.